Jai Radha Madhava.
The following is a class on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text Number 8, given by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami, recorded on 24th June of 1982 in Mumbai, India.
Punjabi Hare. Gopi jana bala bha jwala dhari. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Idam bhagavatam nama pranam brahma samitam adithavan dvaparado pitudvaipaya nataham. At the end of the Dwarpa Yoga, I studied a great supplement of Vedic literature named Srimad Bhagavatam, which is equal to all the Vedas, from my father, Srila Dvaipayana Vyasadeva. Timanandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshur Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jai Dvaita Kadadhar Srivachadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samitam Adithavam Dvaparado Pitu Dvaipaya Nadaham. So, in this verse, the significance of the Srimad Bhagavatam is being described. This chapter, as we said yesterday, is called The First Step in Self-Realization. And Shukadev Goswami over here is pointing out the importance of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and this has been elaborated upon by Srila Prabhupada in the purport. So, Shukadev Goswami is saying, I studied this great supplement of Vedic literature named Srimad Bhagavatam, which is equal to all the Vedas. So this Srimad Bhagavatam has been described to be equal to all the Vedas. This means that this Srimad Bhagavatam, which consists of 18,000 verses, which are divided into 12 cantos, are equal to all the Vedas combined. This is being stated by no lesser personality than Shukadev Goswami. This great literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, is equal to all the Vedas. Because this Srimad Bhagavatam points out at the conclusion of the Vedas, which is to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This Srimad Bhagavatam has been described to be the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge. Why is it called the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge? Because this was compiled by Vyasadeva after mature understanding. Vyasadeva had compiled the four Vedas. And after compiling the four Vedas, Vyasadeva had compiled the Vedanta Sutra. But Vyasadeva, even after compiling the Vedanta Sutra, was feeling unsatisfied. And hence, he went to his spiritual master Narada Muni on the banks of the river Saraswati, and Narada Muni, just looking in the face of Vyasadeva, said, O Parashaya, why do you look so sad? He called him Parashaya because Vyasadeva was the son of Parashya Muni. So Vyasadeva said that it's a fact that I'm sad, but I can't understand why I'm sad. He said, I have been undergoing these great austerities. I have written the entire Vedic scriptures. Then, after writing the four Vedas, I even wrote this Vedanta Sutra. But still, I'm feeling sad. What is the reason? And then Narada Muni replied, because he had not written something exclusively glorifying the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. The difference between the Srimad Bhagavatam and the other Vedic scriptures is that in the other Vedic scriptures, there is reference to the Karmakanda portion, which allows the living entity to engage in limited sense gratification. There is the opportunity by which one can perform certain rituals and be elevated to the higher planets. Of course, elevation to the higher planets does not give one freedom from the cycle of birth and death. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord states, O Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartana Rajana Mam Upedite Khantiya Punar Janmana Vidyate, that from the topmost planet to the bottommost planet, all the places of misery were repeated birth and death take place, just like an aeroplane can fly in the sky only as long as it has enough fuel. Similarly, by performing the Karmakanda portion of sacrifices, the living entity can be elevated to the higher planets, but there he can stay only as long as his good karma allows him, and then again he has to descend to the material world where the cycle of birth and death has to be gone through. So, Vyasadev had compiled the Vedas, but still he was not satisfied, because in the Vedas there is reference to Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda. There are so many different portions of the Vedas. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita we see that Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, do not get influenced by the flowery words of the Vedas, but rather understand the purpose behind them. Because if somebody wants, he can very easily get influenced by the flowery words of the Vedas. Just like the lawyer. The lawyer is capable of finding loopholes in the law even to justify a criminal's act. So Krishna cautions Arjuna, because Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita was posing like a very intelligent man. Arjuna was trying to speak very learned philosophy to Krishna. Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight, but Arjuna was using so many arguments to justify the fact that he should not engage in this battle. So Krishna cautions Arjuna that do not try to be overwise, and he says that do not get influenced by the flowery words of the Vedas, but rather understand the purpose behind the Vedas, which is to understand the Supreme Personality of Ramai, which is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, this is confirmed in the 14th chapter of the Gita. Vedecha sarvarhem eva vedayo vedantakit vedavit eva chana. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. So, Vyasadev compiled this Srimad Bhagavatam after very mature realization, after being instructed by Narada Muni, his spiritual master, that he should write something exclusively glorifying the Supreme Lord. So, this Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada states in the introduction to this great book, will give a solution to all of mankind's problems. Prabhupada in the introduction says that since thousands of years, there have been literally thousands of books, but these books have failed to bring about peace on earth because there is a spiritual vacuum. And Prabhupada goes on to say that this Srimad Bhagavatam will fill the spiritual vacuum. The difference between Srimad Bhagavatam and any other scripture also is that the Vedas talk about God, where God means one who is a controller, Ishvara. Ishvara means one who can control. But this Srimad Bhagavatam talks about the Parameshwara, or the supreme controller, or the source of all energies. So this Srimad Bhagavatam gives information about that living entity who is the source of all energies. In the Vedic scriptures, there is reference to the performance of religion or dharma for realizing economic gain, artha, sense gratification, kama, and liberation, moksha. But this Srimad Bhagavatam completely rejects all this. It completely rejects the utilization of religion for the purpose of some economic gain or sense gratification or ultimate liberation. And this is confirmed in the first canto. Dharma prochitaha kaitvata parmo nirmatsaram sutam. The Srimad Bhagavatam completely rejects this concept of religion to realize some economic gain. Because this Srimad Bhagavatam talks about the utilization of religion for ultimate liberation. Dharma swanutita pumsam. That is, this dharma should only be utilized for ultimate liberation. This dharma should not be utilized for realizing economic gains, because economic gains is not the real purpose of human life. Now, this certain class of transcendentalists like the Mayavadis who say that this Srimad Bhagavatam is not part of the Vedas. Actually, the Vedas are known as the Puranas are known as supplementary Vedas. So there are certain transcendentalists, especially the Mayavadis, who say that this Srimad Bhagavatam is not the compilation of Vyasadeva, but rather this Srimad Bhagavatam is the compilation of Vopadeva. They were the philosopher by the name of Vopadeva. So they say that this Srimad Bhagavatam is compiled by this great philosopher known as Vopadeva. But actually, this is clearly refuted, because in the Padma Purana, there is reference to the fact that Maharaj Ambarish and the great sage Gautama used to read the Srimad Bhagavatam every day. And even the Matsya Purana, there is reference to the fact that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the oldest scripture, is a very old. So the point that this Srimad Bhagavatam is the compilation of a philosopher known as Vopadeva, it's not really a fact. And we can also see that the great philosophers and devotees of our sampradayas, like Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Vallabhacharya, Sanatan Goswami, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, they have all commented on this Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is not to be considered to be an ordinary scripture. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to call this the spotless Purana. Why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu call this the spotless Purana? Actually, there are 18 Puranas. There are 6 Puranas in the mode of goodness. There are 6 Puranas in the mode of passion. And there are 6 Puranas in the mode of, for those in the mode of ignorance. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is called by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the spotless Purana, because in this Purana there's absolutely no defect at all. In this Purana, or that is the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is nothing but description about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the purport, proper talks about 2 different incarnations of the Supreme Lord. One is the Bhagavad Gita, which is considered to be the sound representation of the Lord, because the Bhagavad Gita is the philosophy spoken by the Supreme Lord. And the other is the philosophy about the Lord, that is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is the philosophy spoken about the Supreme Lord. And Bhagavad Gita is the philosophy spoken by the Supreme Lord. And as Prabhupada explains in the purport, this Srimad Bhagavatam has to be understood from the person Bhagavata. Now that this Srimad Bhagavatam can be understood from anyone, this Srimad Bhagavatam has to be understood from the person Bhagavata, because the person Bhagavata understands the significance of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This Srimad Bhagavatam, especially in India, is so widely respected. that even those who want to make some money, they hold what is known as this Bhagavat Sapta. Now what does this Bhagavat Sapta mean? Sapta means a week. It means that one will read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam in 1 week. And usually, these professional reciters of the Srimad Bhagavatam, they start reading the Bhagavatam from the 10th canto. In the Purport, Prabhupada is very specifically stated that one should progressively proceed to the 10th canto. Why? Because the first 9 cantos clearly establish the identity of the person about whom it is. This whole Srimad Bhagavatam is aimed to glorify the Supreme Lord. And the first 9 cantos clearly establish the position of this personality. And that is Lord Sri Krishna. It is clearly described and established that He is the Supreme Lord. For example, in the first canto and in the second canto, there is description about the different incarnations of the Lord. But after those descriptions of the different incarnations of the Lord, it is concluded, Ete chansa kala punsa krishna tiyu bhagwan swayam. That is, there are so many different incarnations, but the original form of the Lord is that of Lord Sri Krishna. So in the first 9 cantos, Vyasadeva has clearly established that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And after having established that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, does he proceed to describe the most confidential pastimes between the Lord and his devotees, the pastimes between the Lord and the gopis. So those who proceed directly to the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, these professional reciters, they are actually simply creating a disturbance in society. Just like Rupa Goswami says in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatraka Vidim Vina Ekantiki Hari Bhakti Radhpata Eva Kalpate. Rupa Goswami states that process of religion which is not based upon Shruti and Smriti is simply a disturbance to society. So those who proceed directly to the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam and without understanding the first 9 cantos, they are actually simply creating a disturbance in society. That is why people have a false understanding of the position of Lord Sri Krishna. Lord Sri Krishna Samanbonam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavat Saptas, consider Krishna to be just an ordinary historical personality who appeared and performed some rasa leela with some beautiful damsels. So, jumping directly to the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam is clearly prohibited by the great sages, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized that this Srimad Bhagavatam should be written, should be studied gradually, step by step. Once in Orissa, in Jagannath Puri, where Thakur Bhakti Vinod was the magistrate, there was a so-called incarnation of Lord Krishna. He claimed to be an incarnation, and this person was engaging in Rasa Leela with the woman folk there. And Thakur Bhakti Vinod, who was in the position of a magistrate, knew that this man is not a genuine incarnation. So Thakur Bhakti Vinod, against the advice of everyone, had this imposter imprisoned. And this so-called bogus yogi cursed Thakur Bhakti Vinod's family that they would all fall sick and die. And believe it or not, Thakur Bhakti Vinod's entire family began to fall sick one by one. All his children fell sick. His wife fell sick. Everyone was sick. And the people in the town of Jagannath Puri started talking that Thakur Bhakti Vinod is being punished because he's committed an apradh, offense, at the feet of this incarnation, a so-called incarnation. But Thakur Bhakti Vinod, being an unflinching devotee of the Lord, he knew that this man was an imposter. he did not get fooled, and Thakur Bhakti would not refuse to budge. And gradually, this all the children and his wife recovered, and this impostor committed suicide. So the point is that there is no shortage of people who trying to take advantage of this great Srimad Bhagavatam without really understanding the philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, in the third verse of this great Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, Ishavasya, it is stated, Nigama Galpataror Galitam Phalam. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of this great Vedic literature. Why is it called the ripened fruit of this great Vedic literature? Because this Srimad Bhagavatam is coming down from the topmost planet, the planet of Goloka Vrindavan, and it is coming down and it has reached the earth intact. Prabhupada gives a nice example in the purport to this verse. He says, just like if a fruit is passed down from the top of the tree, from one branch to another, with different people sitting in different branches, then by the time the fruit reaches the earth, the fruit will be intact. Similarly, this Srimad Bhagavatam is coming from the topmost planet, and it is coming through the medium of the bona fide spiritual masters. Therefore, by the time the Srimad Bhagavatam reaches the ordinary entity, as long as it is coming through the bona fide disciplic succession, this Srimad Bhagavatam is exactly intact. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami has said, Digama Galpa Taror Galitam Phalam. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge. And it is explained by Prabhupada that because this Srimad Bhagavatam has been recited by Shukadeva Goswami, the word Shuka in Sanskrit means parrot. And the saying is that if the parrot bites on a fruit with its red peaks, the fruit becomes even more relishable. So because this Srimad Bhagavatam has been recited by this great son of Vyasadeva, Shukadeva Goswami, this Srimad Bhagavatam has become even more relishable. And in the introduction to the Krishna book, Prabhupada says that these transcendental pastimes of the Lord, they can be understood by, they can be heard by one who is self-realized, like they can be heard by one who aspires liberation, they can be understood by, heard by one who has lusty desires, and they can be heard by one who has material desires. Whatever the propensity may be, whatever the situation may be, anyone who hears this great epic Srimad Bhagavatam is bound to realize transcendental benefit. Shukadeva Goswami was already self-realized and he still recited the Srimad Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj obtained perfection by hearing this great epic Srimad Bhagavatam. So the point is that this Srimad Bhagavatam has become even more relishable by the fact that this was recited by Shukadeva Goswami. And the Bhagavatam further explains that anyone who hears this Bhagavatam regularly, he will develop loving devotional service for the Lord. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, by chanting Hare Krishna, Chaita Darpan Marjanam, by chanting Hare Krishna, the dust in the heart is wiped away. Similarly, regarding Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, Nasta Praesha Badresha Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloka Bhakti Bhavati Naistiki. That is, by regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, all that is inauspicious in the heart is destroyed, and loving devotional service to the Lord is established. So there are so many inauspicious things that are responsible for keeping us entangled in the material world, but they are all destroyed by regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started this process of having the Bhagavatam class every morning. This was started by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to discuss the Srimad Bhagavatam every morning with his disciples, And ever since then, this has been followed by all the other spiritual masters in the disciplic session. Because this Srimad Bhagavatam hearing is very necessary for driving away unnatural desires. It further says in the Bhagavatam, Tatridhana Munayo Jnana Viragya Yuktaya, that is, by hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhaktya Shruta Grihitaya, by hearing this great Shruti, known as the Bhagavatam, one will develop Jnana and Viragya. By hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, one will develop knowledge, and this knowledge will result in renunciation. So this Srimad Bhagavatam should be carefully heard, it should be carefully understood, and if we hear it from the personal Bhagavatam, and if we hear it attentively, then all that is inauspicious in the heart is destroyed, and loving devotional service unto the Lord is established. Sarve punsam paro dharmo yato bhakti adhokshade ahitukya priyatya yatma supasirati. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains what is the highest occupation, what is the highest love, and that is love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't talk about any portion of sense gratification, but it only talks about surrender to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, this spotless Purana is very important. Shukadev Goswami is describing this, the importance of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He is saying that this Srimad Bhagavatam is equal to all the Vedas, and this Srimad Bhagavatam was put in writing at the commencement of the age of Kali or at the end of the age of Dwarpa Yuga. But with the passage of time, especially with the advent of the age of Kali, it was clear to the Lord that people would not be able to remember things. Their memory would go on declining with the passage of each day, and hence it became necessary to for this great literature in writing for people in this age of Kali. So this Srimad Bhagavatam should be taught at all levels. In the introduction, Prabhupada says, Kamara achrat pragyo dharmam bhagavatam ya dulabham manasam janma tadapi adhuvam arthadam. That this Srimad Bhagavatam should be taught in schools and colleges from the age of 5 onwards. Kamara. Kamara means the age of 5. This Srimad Bhagavatam should be taught in schools and colleges from the age of 5 onwards. And anyone who hears the Srimad Bhagavatam attentively, he will develop love of God. Hare Krishna.